Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver-Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
This week, we are exploring resilience.
Today, we air part two of our interview with Dr. Andrew Chatte. Andrew, how do constant negative world events impact people's resilience, and what can we do to cope with them?
You know, our brains tend to be wired for the negative, and there are good adaptive reasons for that. There's much more survival value in scanning for the bad and being able to see it coming than scanning for the good. If you get blindsided by a negative event, it could take you out of the gene pool. But if you get blindsided by something positive, then it's, well, oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And then you go on your way. So we're already looking more for the negative than the positive. And then when we do get this bombardment of negative events in our lives, it creates even more negativity, and we move very much into that negative zone. So what we want to teach people is that our brains don't really lend themselves to us being even-handed emotionally. They tend to drive us towards the negative. And in the wake of negative life events, we go even further that way. We need to counterbalance that. And we're not very good at it, so it's a skill that has to be learned. So, for example, I often say to people, when was the last time that you felt overwhelmed by frustration? And most people look at their watches and say, well, what time is it now? But if I said to them, when was the last time that you felt overwhelmed with contentment? And contentment is the positive counterpoint to frustration. They can't even make sense of that question. It doesn't make sense for us to be overwhelmed by something positive like that. So we tend to be much more mired in the negative, but we can teach people skills that will enable them to really search their landscape for pride as much as they do for shame, for happiness as much as they do for sadness, for contentment as much as they do for frustration. And when we are able to help people get counterbalanced in that way, it's a great remedy for what's happening around us in the world. It just makes us a little more even-handed, a little more balanced in our view.
Are there specific issues that impact people's resilience in later life? And if so, what are they, and how can we learn to respond to them effectively?
I would say two things in particular, and as someone who is in his mid-50s, I'm right there. One is that there's an enormous amount of research around the globe that shows us a U-shaped happiness and life satisfaction curve. And what I mean by that is when we are 18, 19, 20, we tend to be maximally happy, and then that starts to dip progressively over time and then quite sharply. And then it troughs out in the early 50s into the late 50s. Then we start to emerge out of it. We never get quite as happy again as we were when we were 18, 19, 20. But by the time we're in our 60s, 70s, we start to feel pretty good. And then there's a dip down at the end when we're really facing typically a lot of end-of-life physical health issues. So the reality is that this has been studied and shown to be true across cultures adjusting for lifespan. So we know that there is this dip. Why it's there, no one is really sure. Lots of explanations have been offered. But that means that we need to try to remedy this. And one of the biggest remedies, I think, is finding a sense of meaning, mission, and purpose. Unfortunately, over time, we start to retreat into our own lives, all of which is good, but typically taking care of family and tending to needs. But what we need to do in this middle 50s into 60s zone is to really connect with something that's meaningful, some sort of community contribution, maybe even reconnecting with our faith or a value system or mentoring the next generation in something that you know well. I think that's issue number one. That's a really big challenge to resilience in older folk. And then the second is just physical limitations. As we age, obviously we just cannot do what we used to be able to do. We don't have the energy. We don't have the strength. We don't have the motivation. And that can be very frustrating because we still have the mental acuity where we want to achieve a lot of things. And we just don't have the physical capabilities. So we know that there are 18 factors that are really important in terms of resilience. I've mentioned the primary seven, but there are others. And there's a constellation of those that sit very much in the physical domain, like getting enough sleep, good diet and nutrition, habits and behaviors, doing quality exercise, being able to manage your pain. And we know that these represent a hub of resilience factors that are very important. And as we get into middle age and beyond, maintaining that kind of storehouse of physical stamina and energy is going to be a really crucial thing that may not have been so important in our 20s, 30s, and 40s.
If you could offer just one concrete skill that we can acquire to increase our resilience, what would it be?
I think the easiest thing for us to do is at the end of every day, take a look at that day and hopefully with friends or with family, share one good thing that happened to you that day. This is a way I think that we can sort of reframe the events of the day. We can do it in a community spirit. And it really is a very powerful counteraction to the negativity of our brain. We know that the balance of positive and negative events in our lives is a critical hub in resilience, just like that physical health hub is. And we know that the events of the day can wear that down. I have an 11-year-old daughter who has a tendency to go negative. So this is something that we do every single day. At the end of the day, she has to tell her old man something good that happened that day, and it can't be glib. So she'll say things like, we were able to do our math activity outside today because it was beautiful weather and the teacher allowed us to go outside. So that kind of thing, I think, is a really important exercise, and it's one of the easiest to use. If I may suggest one more thing that goes beyond the one skill you requested, it's really this sense of meaning, mission, and purpose. I've come to believe that that is the biggest wellspring of resilience. It takes a little more effort than a gratitude exercise like the one that we outlined. But if you can find something that you can connect to that is larger than self, this is one of the most important protective factors in resilience. If you're going down the highway and someone cuts you off and your life is you, it's a major catastrophe. But if you have connections to things much larger than self, a value system, a faith, your community involvement, whatever it might be, and someone cuts you off on the highway, then it's nothing in the context of your greater life. So I would suggest those two things.
Dr. Andrew Chate, I have to thank you so much, both for taking the time to talk with us and for leaving me feeling so much more optimistic than I did when I walked in the door today.
And it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me on the program.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.